The Department of...
Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Yo, 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 welcome, 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 and a hearty let's go, Brandon, to all you people who will be hearing this later. This is Dave. This is the Dave and G-Ski show. I don't know why it's not the G-Ski and Dave show. He's paying. Anyways, we got a great grandmother show for you, and I'm not sure how to kick it in. There's so many different things. It's that tactic of having so many things, so many chainsaws in the air. You know, you don't know which one to really kind of focus on, but you gotta focus on all of it. So. If you want to give us a call, I don't know, I got the phone number here somewhere. Oh, there it is. Yeah, if you want to give us a call, 516-387-1705, 516-387-1705 is the call-in number. G-Ski will be joining us shortly, if not sooner. He's doing his thing with his machine. Getting his radiator flushed. He's got a bunch of things to do that is associated with that, and he's got to do results are the test of everything. You can take that line to the bank. Results are the test. So if it's working, he'll know. If it's not, he'll also know. So we got all kinds of things to discuss, and I was just scrolling through some TikTok things, and we're going to be listening to some TikTok sound today because I can't quote it, and plus I didn't do any show prep, you know. let's see. So G Ski Rock at G Ski Rocks on Twitter. He's at G Ski Rocks on Instagram, but if you're guying it on Facebook, it's G-E-E Ski Rocks. I don't know why. Maybe G Ski Rocks was already taken on Facebook. I bet that's probably it. So yeah. Anyways, he'll be with us shortly. He said he wasn't feeling a little too good earlier in the day, but he's gonna come on anyways, and he's gonna stick it out and hang out with us. So we'll see. We'll see how long he lasts. You know? We got a lot of Arizona audit stuff that I want to revisit. And I have been on this one since the beginning. If you remember when we started our show, they were just about starting, or they were scheduling the Arizona audit. How long have we been on the air now? We've been on for 6 months, at least. So, anyways. G-Ski, are you there? Can you say anything, or do you want to, what do you want to do? 5 seconds, we go to a best of, so can't have dead air. All right. So I'll keep going. Yeah, so I've been kind of following loosely the Arizona audit. And the anomalies that it turned up, and I have said many, many, many times that if there was even any one anomaly in the 2016 election that leaned in Trump's favor, none of them would have any one of them by themselves would have been enough to be like the end of the world for the media and all the Democrats and stuff like that. But if you stack, even when you stack up anomaly after anomaly after, you know, ballots after, you know, if you, whatever, you stack everything on top of everything on top of everything, and you're still not really allowed to talk about it. I noticed even on the radio shows, they mention the Arizona audit. They say, oh, there's a lot there, and then they skate on their way. You know, I'm talking about the people that I listen to, mainly to Levin, Mark Levin, and Dan Bongino. They touch on it, and then they move on. They don't dwell on it. And I'm, you know, I obviously you think, well, it's right there. How can you deny what is right there, what the audit put out? And it's a matter of, and this is why, you know, we don't hear more about it from Trump. He's letting the chips fall where they may, knowing that it's not going to do anything right now. In other words, he doesn't have the power to do anything about this because he doesn't control any of the levers of power. And even if he did, it would, nobody has seen enough of the stuff out of this audit to lend any credibility to anything he says. Plus he's Trump, you know, plus he's an idiot, plus he's, you know, a conspiracy theorist, and plus he's, you know, he's a corrupt guy. Plus, you know what I mean? So all of these things put together, he doesn't carry the juice by himself. What it takes, and what it's going to take, is so many of us, so many much, much more of us to know about this and start, you know, I guess, start pressuring the media to talk about it somehow, even though they will never. Just as a side thing before I forget, because I didn't write anything down, but speaking of what the media will let on and will not let on, that so-called whistleblower from Facebook is a setup. I'll get back to the audit in one second, but the fact that the media is highlighting somebody as a whistleblower makes you realize that their only reason they're given any airtime for that person is because they're pushing. They have something that will advance an agenda. The agenda being, if the government regulates or insists that the government regulates these social sites, then they get to censor all conservative posts and people. And that's all it will take. Oh yeah, this is hate speech. Oh yeah, this is conspiracy theory stuff. Oh yeah, this is misinformation. You know, and they'll just take you down. Well, that's the end game. But what they're using is her this whistleblower lady as a foil. You know, citing that, well, yeah, you know that. Facebook, it's not that they took down so many posts, it's that they left so many dangerous posts up. What the hell is that? This was all coordinated. This was all connected and planned out. So they, you know, we got that to unpack. The other thing we have to unpack is the Attorney General's letter about people at school board meetings. That turned out to be a complete setup as well. They gamed it out. There's been documents, you know, there's been documents put out, made public, that this was discussed. How do we, you know, how do we get these things shut down? So now there's a hotline. If a school board member feels threatened, that they can call and they can dime out parents as domestic terrorists. I think that's on. I think that has peaked. You know, I don't think, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever, you know, I mean, there's that. And then now there's always been the debt limit increase. I got a few things to say about that. I mean, all really people need to do is think for themselves. And, you know, right along with the, you know, the idea that we have to raise the debt limit, pay the prior debt. And they're intimating that it's because of Trump. We need to pay for the stuff that Trump did. Okay, so think for yourself, number one, on this. Are you ready? Everybody ready? All right, buckle up. You get yourself a credit card. Hey, Bigfoot, thanks for coming in. You get yourself a credit card. You take that credit card and you spend it up to the limit. They stop loaning you money on that credit card. Call them up and ask, can you increase my credit limit so that I can go ahead and pay you what I already owe you? Is that how it works? No. I strenuously object? No, that's not how it works. Objection, overruled. No. I strenuously object. Oh, well, since you strenuously object, I should take a moment and reconsider my overruling. That's how it works. You need to increase the debt limit in order to pay your prior debt. No. You want that credit card company to increase your debt limit so that you can buy more shit. Not so that you can pay off the stuff that you have. Think for yourself. That's all. Just does it make sense? No. No. Whatever. That was one of the things. The U.S. will default unless we raise the debt limit. Not true. Sorry, thank you for playing. You're done. How smart is your president? That's going to be a fun one. The U.S. will not default unless it's at the pleasure of the president and the Fed chief. Because, and that would be breaking the law. The whole full faith and credit in the 14th Amendment says that the service on the debt is first in line. Next in line is the programs that are guaranteed by the government, Social Security, the VA, pensions, you know, those government pensions, those types of things. So Mark Levin did the research on it. Everybody's paying taxes every week or every other week, or, you know, and the government collects almost or somewhere around $320 billion a month collected by the IRS. $320 billion a month. Why would you default? What's the service on the debt? Apparently, it's around $44 billion a month. Okay. Okay. So you take 44 out of the 320, and then from there, you on down the line with Social Security, the VA, the military, the pensions, things like that. So the only reason a default would happen is to punish people for not letting them have their way. That's the only way a default would happen. Ego. Ego is the only reason a default would occur. Just saying. That's how that works. So, you got that. Can we, I don't know how much to say about the whole Build Back Better plan. I mean, it's nothing more really than a crap sandwich. Thank you, sir. May I have another? That's all we've had from them for a long time is crap sandwiches. So they're going to, they shot big. They want to get, 3.5 trillion and it's really 5.8 or whatever. And they're going to whittle it back to only 1 or 2 trillion and say, look how much we did for you. We are only going to fund these programs 5 years instead of 10. So that way we got the price down. No, not really. It's actually going to end up being more than that because you still have all these other programs. They wouldn't care if plus they said it's all paid for. Well, if everything is paid for, why do you have to raise the debt limit? I don't know. They wouldn't care if the thing cost $100 for the Build Back Better plan, and they were able to at least introduce these programs. We'll get these programs into a law, and then we'll fund them later. At least those programs will be in place. As far as I'm concerned, this thing cannot even get passed. I don't care how much it costs. I don't care how much it doesn't cost. It's the stuff that's in it that is just, it will fundamentally alter the whole society as I see it. And that's not fair to the people that don't want it, to the 81 million of us that didn't vote for it. Let's be honest. Nobody voted for it. Nobody voted for Biden. They voted against Trump because they believed the lies about him. A lot of it was lies. Anyway, what else you got? G-Ski, how you doing? I know you're listening. I know you're muted. Not there? All right. So let's hear a couple of TikToks about the Arizona audit. Because they were at the Hill today. So let's see what we got here.
I'll start with Mr. Bennett, and we'll try to work on down so everybody can get there. Is it standard practice to delete files off a server after an election, Mr. Bennett?
I hope not.
So, Mr. Gates, would you agree with that?
So let me pause it right there. He pops in. Well, I hope not. I hope it's not a standard practice to delete files off the server after an election. I hope not. Later on in this clip, you're going to hear one of those guys saying, well, there's limited space on those servers, so it's necessary sometimes to delete things and archive them to make room for the, if there's a new election. So I'll keep it going.
I would say that it is appropriate to maintain files, and that's exactly what we did. We deleted the deleted files had been discussed. They were archived.
So you admit that you guys did delete, Maricopa County did delete files off the server after the election.
That are archived.
Yeah, and so when you released these servers and this information to the auditors to begin with, they didn't have access to those archived files at first. Is that fair to say?
They did not subpoena those. That's correct.
Okay, so
So those guys are laughing because they realize that, you know, they just admitted to dodging the subpoena. The material on these servers were subpoenaed. So they deleted that material from the server and then turned the server over according to the subpoena. And they're going to say, well, we responded to the subpoena. They're also going to be asked that, well, if it's a practice to delete material from a server after an election to make room for the next one, why, when you did turn over the server, was there information from prior elections on it? So, you know, it's like they went around and around. They're like, well, I don't know the answer to that. I'll get you the answer. Let's go ahead.
You didn't feel obligated to turn that over then to them?
We responded to the subpoena.
Okay. Mr. Bennett, your response to that?
I find it, frankly, laughable to suggest that a county, in response to a subpoena, could say we will delete files from the hard drives and materials that we give to the auditors because we have those files archived on data that we did not give to the auditors when the subpoena said turn over all the records related to the election.
Yeah, see, that's the way I read the subpoena. It was more broadly than the county read it, for sure. So so your Twitter account mentions that the purging of the 2020 election database in the beginning of February is a standard practice. Can you please confirm for me that that's what you do for all elections, after all elections, you do that?
I cannot confirm that for you today, but we can certainly get you that answer, Congressman.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, can you confirm that today or not?
I really can't confirm that either today. I just know that because there is limited space on these servers, when you have to run another election, then you have to make room for the additional election data.
So was there additional, was there still, well, let me just rephrase this. If that is the standard practice, which is kind of, I don't think you guys are saying that you know for sure, but the chairman just intimated that that's the case. Can you explain to me why data was still present for prior elections on the databases in and of itself?
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that question, but we'll certainly get you an answer for it, Congressman.
Okay. All right. I would appreciate if you would give me that information.
And I do think that it's important that our recorder has suggested that he will be answering every question in a timely fashion.
Start with Mr. Bennett, and we'll go.
Well, there you go. There was so much in that one little clip that kind of contradictory, kind of exposing, kind of, you know, made him squirm a little bit, you know, when he says, well, why was there information from prior elections, you know, and it was funny. It's a, I don't know, this is probably, that's a C-SPAN thing, you know, and it, the camera goes to the guy that he's asking, and you can see him, his palms are up to say, and then the other guy chimed in. So that's what's up with that. I got another one. Just trying to think. All right, this one actually has somebody taped it off their machine and kind of dropped in. They taped it off their TV and they dropped in with a comment, I think, at the end. So this is Mr. Biggs. I'm not sure. But they were talking about it, though, on the election, the hearing on the Arizona election audit.
From the yield, you called me up and asked if I would respond. I'm happy to respond.
Yes, by all means, do you accept this audit, which showed that Joe Biden won and indeed by more votes than...
That is not what the audit concluded, Mr. Raskin. You know better than that. Have you read the whole audit? Or you cherry-picked the line which talks about the recount versus the tabulation machines? That we would have expected to be very similar, and it wasn't. So anything that might have inured to President Biden's effect
is my question, Mr. Baker. I'm happy to yield to you. Who won the election in Arizona? Donald Trump?
We don't know, because as the audit, it demonstrates very clearly, Mr. Raskin, there are a lot of issues with this election that took place. We're going to go through those today, but you can continue, speaking of the big lie, you can continue to perpetuate it as long as you want.
If our own
There you go. That happened today also. So there's a lot there. I've been, you know, I've been following it from the beginning and only because it's like a spark of hope. I'll be honest. It's like a spark of hope that and not even, all right, you might find this odd or blasphemous or whatever, not even so that Trump would be in office. All right, that's less of a, I mean, as cool as that would be, as far as I'm concerned, as cool as that would be, we just need to get rid of the corruption. We need this stuff exposed, and it needs to be fixed by, and people that we send to Washington need to be trusted, and they're not. So, is that G-Ski I hear? Heard something. I guess he's not ready yet. He'll let us know. He'll let us know. What was the other thing I was going to say? Talked about the whistleblower. Talked about the... Well, like I said, you know, call-in number is 516-387-1705. I'll text that over to my cousin, see if he'll call in again. We'll see. In the meantime, what did I have? I had a couple of others here. I had a couple others. Best thing I'll see. All right, so here's a good one. We'll go with this one.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How dare we?
I don't know who it is.
How dare we? How dare the sovereign states and free Americans challenge the oppressive, omniscient authority of the all-powerful national democratic machine? How dare we exercise our legal and constitutional rights to question irregularities of an incredibly significant election? We have thousands of affidavits signed by American citizens regarding very suspicious election irregularities on the days and weeks leading up to the 2020 election, and specific shocking observations of electoral sabotage on election day itself. But my colleagues summarily dismissed the sworn affidavits of American citizens as liars and conspiracy theorists. Yet an illegal alien crossing our border with a scripted plea for asylum taped to his head, he's seen as a paragon of virtue. The 2020 presidential election was indeed compromised. We don't know how much, because investigations take time. Yet as of January the 20th, 2021, Joe Biden was indeed our inaugurated president. Listen good. On January the 20th, 2025, we're going to fix that. And Democrats will have an opportunity to deal with the reelected and newly inaugurated President Donald J. Trump again. And I have no doubt that my Democratic colleagues across the aisle will object. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I just don't know who that was. I mean, that was something in a hearing someplace. Say he was Skyping in or whatever. And like I said, I didn't recognize him. I don't recognize the voice. I don't recognize the face. But he was right on point as far as that goes. You know, when are they going to get sick of hearing? Well, the answer is they're not. They're not going to get sick of hearing that. You know, the big lie is on the other side. So, so the Attorney General is corrupt, and he is defending. He is defending school boards who teach critical race theory. And interestingly, it is mostly about critical race theory. Why is that? Well, he has a daughter, the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. His daughter is married to a man who, that's kind of interesting in itself at this point, but married to a man who founded an organization that puts out information on critical race theory, and they are making millions selling it to school districts. I'll let that one sink in for a second. He has a conflict of interest. The blatant corruption, the family, you know, the family protection racket. I mean, I guess it's right in keeping with the Biden family. We got to protect their future fortune. It gets frustrating. It really does. And there's so many things. How many topics did I just hit in the first half an hour of this show? I hit like 7 different topics. And I hit them good.
Yes, you did.
Oh, G-Ski.
What's up?
Hey, we got you good now.
Good. I moved.
Yeah. All right, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, the great, the powerful Oz. The everlasting G-Ski Rocks in the house.
What's up, peeps?
We need a promo. Hit a promo and then you know, introduce yourself.
But go ahead, finish, because great minds think alike. I mean, you are hitting everything that I wanted to talk about.
Well, how about instead of me continuing because I'm out, you respond. I'll tell you what. The only thing that I had left that I hadn't, you know, that I was gonna go into is I bought the book American Marxism. And I, you know, I read it maybe like a half an hour a night. I'm about 14 pages in.
The Mark Levin one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because you know there's another one.
No.
There's another one by a guy named Reeves, I think it is, William Reeves. I have a coworker, and he doesn't like Amazon Prime. So he doesn't deal with it. So anytime he wants to order something, he'll come to me. And, he just had me order. I gave it to him on Wednesday. American Marxism by, I think it's William Reeves. So there's two of them out there.
The Mark Levin one. Is that a new book?
Yeah.
Wow. And from what angle does that one come?
I'm not sure.
Hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but yeah, there's two books out there. One by Levin and one by this other guy. Like I said, I can't remember his name right now.
Hmm.
If I looked it up on my phone, I could probably find it. I mean, because
here's what happens, right? Here's the funny thing that happens. I'm reading along, right, and then I'll hit on a brilliant point, right, and I'm like, oh wow, And then in my head, I go off in these conversations with the guy that I work with, you know, and I go, well, what about this? I go, and, you know, I just try to extrapolate the whole point out, you know, and see how, you know, what would you say to that? What would he say to that? And try to have it all, try to have all angles covered. So if it comes up, you know, I'm prepared. But I don't end up getting much reading done. Even if I'm looking at the book and reading the words, I'm not comprehending what it is. So I have to go slow. I'm just so out of practice, you know, reading that kind of a thing that I just really have to go slow. Sometimes I have to go back over a paragraph and it's like, what? Wait a minute, what? What was I was thinking about something else reading that whole thing, you know? but one of the ones that it was on like the first couple pages, you know, that was the first thing that slowed me down, where he was talking about, you know, how you know, on the left they've got the narrative that profit is exploitative of workers, right? You're not allowed to make a profit. You should pay your people more. That's how they you know, frame it.
Right.
And his thing was, it's not an evil thing. It's the reason, first of all, it's the reason people are going to go into a business, you know, and start creating things. This is their risk. This is their, what do you call it? Intellectual property, you know, the whole idea or whatever. This is their risk, is their money. And the people that are good to the people that I work with, that's where raises come from. You know, you would like a raise. Well, they need to make a little more profit for you to get the raise, you know, and you'll get the raise if you deserve the raise. If you don't, quit and go to somebody that will, you know, pay you what you deserve. Or compete, you know what I mean? But when he was like, in the book, he says that's how businesses grow. That's how they reinvest. That's where raises come from, you know. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, you want a raise, don't you? You know, who doesn't?
Right.
Well, you need to have profit generate that. You know, they just have the whole opposite view of like everything. Everything is the worst possible. Traits is what they appeal to. They appeal to the lowest common denominator. They appeal to, you know, fear. They appeal to anger. They appeal to all the worst low emotions. So they must think that everybody's like that. Well, I mean, if one person is corrupt and is greedy, then it must be all of them. No, it's people are people. Some are this, yes. Many are not. So that was the only other thing that I was gonna just kind of get into is that I did get the book. My wife busted my balls about it, but
it's all good.
Not a fan of Levin, so.
Oh.
Well, she's not a fan of many things that I am.
Right. How much money are you making off of that dumbass radio show? Yeah. I really did enjoy your breakdown of the debt ceiling. That was really, really good. It was educational. And I'm so upset because the Republicans in Congress are cowards.
Oh, feckless. They're flaccid.
Yeah. They always blink. They always compromise. Why do they always have to compromise? The Democrats never compromise. What happens with the Democrats, they end up losing. There's no compromise. When they don't get what they want, it's because they lost. But Republicans, they're the first ones to compromise. They're the first ones to broker a deal. They get these groups of three groups of aid and all this other crap, and they broker compromises. And that just irritates me to my soul. I'm so tired of that. And the debt ceiling is just another one of those things where the Republicans show that they have no backbone. If you go back and look to 2019, I think it was August, you know, Trump suspended the debt ceiling back then when he put together his budget, when he passed his budget, he suspended the debt ceiling because we were doing good. We were doing great. You know, I know almost every administration tries to increase the debt ceiling. It happens. I understand that. Trump, he didn't do it. He suspended it for 2 years. It expired. It expired in July of this year.
Uh-huh. And I don't remember that. That's weird. I don't remember that. Does that mean that during his presidency they didn't raise the debt limit?
No, they didn't raise it at all. He suspended it for 2 years.
It expired
July of this year.
That is probably why. That's how they're not explaining that part of it. All they're doing is saying we need to raise the debt limit to pay for all that past debt. Which,
right.
You know, I already went through that. It's not how it works. Is that how it works? You strenuously object? Is that how it works? Oh, well, then I should reconsider my overruling. That was from A Few Good Men. I don't know. Do you remember that part?
Yes.
Yeah. So whenever I hear something like that, oh, is that how it works? Oh, okay. Yeah. Perhaps I'll reconsider my my ruling.
Yeah, but I mean, the Democrats are. You know, they're doing the same thing that they always do. They've been doing it for decades. They try to throw money at a problem, hoping that it'll fix it. And it never fixes it. So that's all that they did. They were throwing money at problems, hoping what? That it would fix it. And then all of a sudden they go, you know what? We're going to have to pay for all this stuff. Yeah, we need to raise the debt ceiling.
I'm going to have to disagree. They
okay.
know, yeah, that only because probably as soon as I say this, you're going to be like, yeah, all right. But they're not throwing money at anything to solve anything. They're throwing money to divide people. They're throwing money to Cloward and Piven the whole system. They're throwing money, I mean, at outrageous rates. I didn't even get into today how much a trillion is. You know, a trillion is beyond comprehension. It really is.
Right.
31,000 years is a trillion seconds. 31,000 years, 790 years. That's a trillion seconds. 31,709 years.
That's a whole lot.
And now they're
years.
Talking about 3 trillion. So just multiply that by 3. You know, so now what are we at? We're at 90, almost a million years, almost a million years to pay off 3-4 trillion. A million years. If you paid $1 a second, that's how long it would take.
Jesus. But you are correct. You're exactly right.
Told you.
Yeah, you are exactly right.
They're not trying to solve anything. They have different motives for doing what they're doing.
Right.
And, you know, get the book American Marxism from Levin. I don't know who the other one is from, but, you know, get that and it'll start breaking down you know, where it all comes from and where it's all going. They're trying to disguise the minimum income thing.
Right.
How many people are going to bother to work if they're getting money to not work? Well, isn't that what they've been doing? That's what they've been doing.
Yep.
They used COVID as the excuse, but that's what they're trying to do. They just throw money at people, and now that now they've been out of work for some of them, probably been out of work for over a year. They're not capable really of going back into the workforce. They're really not. They're they know that. And what's going to happen is going to be a generation of slobs that. That's all it's going to take. Ronald Reagan says freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. How prescient was that? How true is that?
Right. Yeah.
All you got to do is just ruin everything. You need to destroy natural law. That's my thesis.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I kind of took it over. What else did you have on the debt ceiling thing?
No, that was pretty much it. I mean, the debt ceiling, it just irritates me that, like I said, it irritates me that the Republicans blinked, as Ted Cruz would say. They blinked or they caved. They gave in. I hate to see that. It happens all the time. And it takes away from us trying to gain any ground.
Yeah, and Mitch McConnell's got to go. He's absolutely got to go. But I heard a slightly different take on why. Because they blinked in for what, 2 months?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So right now, if you're an insider in DC, you can see the Democrats flopping on the deck like a fish. Some of them are clawing their eyes out, foaming at the mouth, and they're fighting with each other.
Yes.
So they can pass whatever they want. They got with their mandate of 4 House seats and a tie-breaking vice president.
Right.
They can pass whatever it is they want to pass. Now, here's the problem for them is that they have some Democrat elected officials that would like to keep their job, and from what they're hearing, from home or whatever, they wouldn't keep their job if they went along with it. And Nancy Pelosi can't corral them into, going along 100%. She needs a few Republicans to go along with it. Well, because she has. And then Chuck Schumer in the Senate has got the two holdouts for now, anyways, Manchin and Sinema, that they want to keep their seat. They want to keep their seat more than they want to see the Democrat agenda, get enacted, and that's frustrating for the Democrat leaders. So I don't really know how to feel about this. This is just a different way to look at it. So like by extending 2 months, the debt thing.
Yes.
It allows Republicans to kind of stand out of the way and let them eat themselves. So if Republicans are in the news, it's because it's bad. If they're out of the news, that's the better place for them to be. I mean, looking realistically at
right, exactly
at politics, if they're in the news, it ain't good. So, because the news. The news hates them, and you know, they're not going to ever say anything good about them. So if they're
right.
in the news, it's bad. So if they're not in the news, they're not in the way. So I don't know. That was a different kind of take on not condoning anything Mitch McConnell does at this point, but that was probably one of the things he was running through his mind, being a Washington insider. Seeing what's going on, you know, you've been there long enough, you can tell which way the wind is blowing, type of thing.
Right.
So, I mean, that kind of made sense to me, you know, to some degree. But you know, like I said, I don't have a hard and fast one way or the other on that right now. It was just another way to kind of look at it. And, you know, I don't know if justify it is the right word, but it's kind of dependent on what actually ends up happening.
Right.
So kind of like sliding all your chips in the middle, waiting on that last card.
That is very, very true. And switching gears, you were talking about the audits, Arizona,
yeah.
and
yep.
stuff like that. Well, they finished one of the audits here in Georgia, and they found 9 discrepancies. Now, of course, they only tell us about the minor ones. They don't tell us about the big ones. But,
I'm sorry. I apologize. 9 discrepancies. Is that 9 categories?
Yes.
Or nine votes?
9 categories.
Oh, okay. Only 9 then. All right. Go.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But the news only reported the minor ones. There was something with money, how they handled the money or something like that. But some of the big ones, we've talked about it before on this show. And one of the big ones was the fact of the matter that you had all these mail-in ballots that were perfectly flat.
Not creased.
Right. Not creased at all. Just perfectly flat. And another discrepancy.
And they had reams of them, right? They had reams of them that somehow in the shape of reams of paper.
Yes. And the other thing was that they ran those reams through more than once.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. But I mean, they didn't. The news wouldn't talk about those discrepancies. You would have to go look into the report to see those.
Right.
You know, the only thing that the news talked about was money. So they're still going with the, you know, there was no voter fraud. They're still trying.
They're
gonna
have to come up off that pretty soon. So like even one of those TikToks that I played a little bit earlier. One guy was he was obviously a Democrat, and he was grilling the liaison there, and he says, "So do you believe the audit when it says that Joe Biden won or he got more elections?" He's like, No, you know better than that. You know better than to do that. You're cherry picking one piece. Yes, we counted those votes. Yes, we matched it up with what they said on election day. We really didn't expect a discrepancy on that."
Right.
Because that should be the same. If there was a problem with that, then there'd be, you know, a whole nother category that we would introduce. But you're not looking into the stuff that we found on the machines. You're not looking into the other things that we found with the the perfect circle ovals. The ovals that were filled in by a computer. screen or by a printer.
Right. Yeah.
And then, like you say, the ones that the duplicate ballots, there was so many duplicate ballots in Arizona, and it was because, you know, I guess people counting, you know, they would like tear a ballot accidentally on purpose. Well, then it has to go and be duplicated. Well, then they end up counting both of them. You know what I mean? And they would do things like that so that they could put it in the stack of, well, this needs to be, you know, adjudicated. This needs to be, it needs to be duplicated on something that can be run through and count and all that. Well, they would apparently put them in that stack with, you know, an odd crease, because of an odd crease or because of a, you know, a slight tear in the corner or something like that. And then they would run them, and they matched up the numbers on the ballots. There was way more duplicate ballots made than were called for in Arizona, at least. You can hear some of the, you can hear, see interviews. Somebody did an expose someplace. They did, because they were interviewing the, you know, some of the workers at the audit, and they were telling them, you know, here's something. I started noticing patterns that were very strange indeed, you know, and it'd be like 7 Biden, 1 Trump, 7 Biden, 1 Trump. And that pattern repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. And I called that to their attention, you know, this and that. So what would you do if you wanted to, if you had a whole box of Biden votes that you knew were Biden votes but didn't want it to seem like they were Biden votes? You would, like, you know, flip through, boink, stick one Trump in, boink, stick one Trump in, boink. So that's, you know, that's how they figured that all went down. But yeah, I mean, this has got to come out. I mean, it's probably not going to come out before the next election anyways. You know, in other words, not to change anything that's going on now, other than fixing how it got there.
Right.
In all these other places. That needs to be fixed. I would say, you know, do away with the machines. Screw the machines. Because they can be hacked. If you have people in there, you know who those people are. And they can be deposed if necessary.
Right.
If there's funny business. You know, it doesn't matter who does the voting. It matters who counts the votes. Okay, well, we need to have some virtuous people count the votes.
Yep. And there were also some incidents where I know of at least 2 counties where there were more mail-in ballots than registered voters.
In Georgia? And,
yeah.
Yeah. I remember hearing about that. Maybe it was from you, but I remember hearing something about that.
And I'm like, how is that not a big red light to show that there was some voter fraud?
No, it's
when you have
big
more... Yeah, when you have more mail-in ballots than you do registered voters, something's wrong.
Yeah, that's for sure. But no,
yeah,
it's a big lie.
It drives me nuts. Yep, the big lie. It drives me nuts. And that is absolutely crazy.
So what county in Georgia?
Oh, crap. Well, the big county is Fulton County. That is the biggest county in Georgia. So that was the big audit on Fulton County, and it was there was an official one, and then there was an unofficial one that was done by a company that's been around for a while. I can't remember the name of the company off the top of my head, but they found way more stuff than the official audit. They found way more stuff. And I mean, the stuff that they found could overturn the election here in Georgia. And
yeah, okay. Well, that's two states. You really only needed one to overturn the whole thing. But like I said, it's like a public opinion thing now. You know, it's a public opinion situation where if enough people, you know, it has to break into the mainstream news. It has to become such a huge story that they can't not talk about it.
Right.
And, you know, and the problem is, you know, they're going to avoid it as long as possible because it involves them. They're in it.
Exactly.
You know, that it's exactly like what I was talking about, that whistleblower lady from Facebook. What'd you think of that?
Oh, you were on point with that. You were on point with that.
Yeah,
I'm glad somebody said it.
Yeah, it's the fact that she's on as a whistleblower that you know makes me not believe anything she says is genuine, because what needs to happen is they need the whistle blown on them, and they're not going to put somebody on who's going to blow the whistle on them. They're not going to call, you know, they're not going to embarrass themselves, even though that's exactly what needs to happen. But they're not going to do that. They'll protect themselves from, you know, they need to save face. They need to, you know, they need to protect them. Yeah, they need to protect each other. So they need to protect the agenda. That's the whole point of it. And this administration.
Right. Yeah. So you get this so-called whistleblower, and now the question becomes, well, do we need to start regulating Facebook? Do we need to start, you know, regulating this, regulating Twitter and Instagram?
Yeah, they need that so they won't get sued for doing what they want to do anyways.
Right. Exactly.
Why don't we why don't we pick this up on the other side? We'll do a top of the hour, and then when we come back, we'll continue on with this whistleblower lady, and we'll probably get into a little more attorney general stuff.
Okay, I'm good with that.
All right.
So you've been listening to the Dave Ajeezky Rock Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. We will be right back.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Oh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom! Come to the forest, where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You have entered the reality zone. This is a collection of internet talk radio hosts who, like you, have finally gotten sick of the mainstream media. Please join the ever-growing family of listeners and callers who are at the beginning of the next big thing. Internet radio is a true marketplace because there are so many regular people hosting. Be sure to weed through them and then come back to our group, as so many listeners have already done. This is real people, real conversations, and real opinions. Side effects may include anger, increased awareness, deeper understanding of American exceptionalism, a severe loss of political correctness, increased motivation to participate in politics, support for rugged individualism, a true blue love for country, vomiting if you're still a liberal, increased ability to recognize Alinsky's rules for radicals, a clearer understanding of capitalism, the ability to win more arguments. You will become a self-appointed roadblock to the creep of cultural Marxism and Sharia inside this country. Do not drive or operate heavy machinery until you know how the show will affect you.
No one knows how to best cope with kidney disease like someone who lives with it every day. And that's why the National Kidney Foundation created NKS Peers, our peer mentoring program for kidney patients, including people on dialysis, transplant recipients, and those in earlier stages of kidney disease. Our program also connects living kidney donors with people who are considering donation. NKF trains kidney patients and living donors to serve as mentors in the program, and then we connect them with others who are seeking support. For someone who is just diagnosed with kidney disease or someone considering donating a kidney, talking it through with someone who's been through it is invaluable. Participants use a special toll-free phone system to connect to each other, so no one has to disclose their personal phone numbers or incur any long-distance charges, and the program is completely free. It provides effective, confidential help to those who need it. To learn more or to get involved, call 855-653-7337, that's 855-NKF-PEER, or email us at nkfpeers@kidney.org.
You're listening to Renaissance Radio on Airwaves America with Dave and GC Rock.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. I am one of your hosts. G-Ski Rock's right here in the house. Crack-a-lacking and all that good stuff. Real quick, if you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, that's 516-387-1705. And if you want to chime in, all you got to do is hit the 1 on your phone, and that will let us know that you got something to say. Or you want to ask a question or something, you're always welcome. We welcome everybody because we don't discriminate. We're good people.
Well, just fair warning, too. You know, if we see you on the board, we might just pull you in anyway and see who is it.
Yeah. We like great conversation. So we'll pull you in regardless. You know how that's going down.
Hey, The president visited Michigan recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it was quite the view when he was in his motorcade. He drove miles and miles of Trump won signs and F Joe Biden, and literally the both sides of the road. And when he got to where he was going, this is what it sounded like.
President Joe Biden.
A smattering of applause.
Yeah.
I might need that.
I might need that.
Hello, Michigan. It's good to be back. It really is.
President Joe Biden.
So then, hold on. And then when he...
That's why 81 million Americans voted for me. The largest number of votes in American history.
Well,
clear majority. That's what.
Those claps sound like a couple of horses. It sounds like them banging coconuts in Mighty Python.
Mighty Python, right.
Yeah, that's what that sounds like.
So Trump can walk, any place, And there are thousands of people. There were probably tens of people at his, at Biden's thing. There were more people on the side of the road getting there than there were. And that's what he said. So, and notwithstanding some of the signs we saw on the way here, 81 million people voted, the most votes ever in history. He may actually believe that. But
he may.
He may actually believe it. But what's happening, I believe, is he's being protected and shielded from a lot of the blowback. That's why he doesn't take questions.
Yeah.
He walked off the set today. Went in there and said, okay, this is how it's going to be. See ya. Oh,
yeah.
Wait a minute. So, anyway, I cut you right off because I wanted to just, I just wanted to put that out there because, you know, yay. And there was great rejoicing. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. You know, Trump was down here. He was down here a couple of weeks ago, and, man, he pulled in thousands and thousands of people. Yeah,
so how can people, this is what I'm saying, how can people believe that he really, really got 81 million votes? Trump was the one that got the most votes, you know, in history, plus notwithstanding all the ones they stole from him and flipped in the machine.
That's true. And, Bigfoot pointed that out in the chat room. You see what he said?
Yeah, how many from humans and how many from machines? Yes, exactly. Way to go, Bigfoot. You're the man.
You know, Mickey Mouse probably voted in every state.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, he probably got a vote in every state. I can almost guarantee that.
But anyways, I cut you off right after your intro, and because I wanted to jump in with that. But I apologize. You was starting to say something else, and I probably threw you off your game. Sorry.
No, you didn't throw me off my game. Remember, we were talking about the Facebook chick.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah.
I'm the one. Yeah, all right. I'm the one.
We were talking about the Facebook chick, which it was all a setup. But
it's a setup in order to give cover to the tech people who want to ban any conservative content. Anyways, speaking of Mickey Mouse, I would have written him in if the GOP had nominated Jeb Bush in 2016.
Yeah? Yep.
Hey, yeah. Not for nothing. Lisa Murkowski won in a write-in ballot thing in her Senate seat that was apparently owed her from her daddy. So not that she's isn't she supposed to be a Republican?
Supposed to be.
Yeah, she's not really. Yeah, she's more of a swamp creature.
Yeah. More of a swamp creature. Her and what's the other one?
Susan Collins.
Yep. You're right. Yep. Not too far from you.
Not too far. About an hour. Maybe a little less.
Yeah.
That's scary. But, I mean, it's still better than the two I have in my state. I keep thinking that Senator Warren's one of mine, but she's in Massachusetts. I have Maggie Hassan, and I can't remember who the other guy is. Might be a
who was the representative that you had wrote some years ago? This is a long time ago.
It was probably 7-8 years ago. I know you wrote one of your representatives and you got a response. She was a female. I can't remember her name though. But I remember you wrote something to her. I don't even remember what it was. But yeah,
it was probably something regarding was it the federal rep or was it the state rep? Because I wrote some state reps about convention of states. It's not going to do me any good to write a federal, you know, a U.S. representative about the convention of states because it would be counterproductive. Because, you know, the point of the convention of states is to keep those guys in line that are there. So, I can't remember who it may have been.
Yeah, I don't remember either. When I fire my old computer back up again, I got some of that stuff on there. I remember reading the letter. There's some really interesting stuff on that computer. I'm gonna have to pull some of that stuff.
I'm sitting here looking at three bare naked hard drives sitting there just in a stack. I have no idea what's on them, but if I can find a way, you know, to get in there and find out what the hell is on them, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Because, they're, older and oldest. Because I use Apple now, and these are HP, hard drives.
Right.
So, I got a way to find a way to access them. I had a little device that I could plug, take a hard drive out of a computer, plug it into this device, and USB it into whatever I wanted. So I could.
Yeah.
I've done that before, but the device stopped working, so I haven't spent any more money or time on it. So.
Same here. I had one also, and mine just stopped working one day.
Yeah.
So I was done. Let's see.
All right. So there. I was going to go into the Attorney General thing.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
There was a. Kind of like a judicial watch group that through FOIA and other insider information and stuff like that got a hold of a letter they wrote a letter I might have a better way to do this. So can you take it for a couple minutes while I hunt something up? Because it was pretty amazing.
Sure.
All right.
I have no problem with that. I'll quickly touch on – this is something that kind of irritates me a lot. I'm a huge fan of comedy. I'm a huge fan of Dave Chappelle. Now, Dave Chappelle, I mean, he is a Democrat. However, he is a master at his craft. And, he's put out like 4 or 5 Netflix specials. And his last Netflix special came out a couple days ago. And I thought it was a brilliant piece. Dave Chappelle, once again, doing what Dave Chappelle does. And now you have the alphabet people trying to cancel him. because of the things that he said in this Netflix special. He talked a lot about transgender people. Now, okay. Yeah, Dave being the master at his craft, he explained this quite brilliantly. But it was just the fact of the matter that he was making jokes about transgender people. And, you know, he said something on one of his other specials. He said that, you know, out of a whole lot of people, they're kind of the funniest. They're kind of the best people to make fun of. They're funny. Their situation is funny. You know, somebody had, was born a guy and thinks he wants to be a girl or vice versa. I can't explain it the way Dave does, but he explained it brilliantly, and he added punchlines to him, and it was brilliant. And his last special, he kind of concentrated on the transgender community because they keep on attacking him for every special that he does because he touches on the transgender, the alphabet people, and all this other stuff. So yeah, each and every time they attack him. But this time they're trying to get his special pulled and all this other stuff, because that last one, he really went in on a transgender. But like I said, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when you think about it, I felt terrible, and I think we talked about this. I felt terrible for the women runners at the Olympics.
Yeah.
Every one of them that won the women's was a guy. Now, and I'll ask the question, were there any women competing in men's categories?
No.
That thought they were men? No. Well, that's how you know. I mean, that's how you know. That's how you know that letting one gender into the other is not right, and not letting them win. Give them their own category. Give them their own category.
Exactly.
Let them compete with each other and not try and compete with women who are still, you know, think that they're women, as terrible as that is. Give
yeah.
them their own category.
Yeah, give them their own category.
Who cares what they think they are? I remember talking about this guy who identified as a woman, but apparently only while he's running races. He had a wife, right? Oh, yeah, that's right it was. Oh, that's even funnier. He identified as a woman, but he identified as a gay woman, and he had a wife. And he dressed like a man and all this.
What kind of confusing crap is that? See, that's why the jokes that Dave Chappelle said
you can't
are so
make
funny.
That up.
Yeah,
not
you
only
can't
does
make
he identify,
crap up.
Right. He identifies as a woman, you know, as a man. He identifies as a woman, but he identifies as a lesbian woman. So that allows him to have a wife, you know, a family, you know, wear men's clothes, you know?
Right.
What crazy crap is that? Finish up with Dave. I know you got something more to go, because I'm all set with what I was looking for.
Oh, okay. No, it's just bothersome that, you know, a thing like comedy, we can't even tell jokes anymore. Well, you can tell jokes. You just can't tell jokes about the alphabet people, specifically transgender. And it's just becoming more and more irritating. So I give kudos to Dave Chappelle for being the guy that he is and telling the jokes with taste. The way
and
he
he's
did.
And he's taken all the slings and arrows. He's taken the hits. He's like the first one through the door.
Yeah.
He's taking the hits, and you know, and I know that you can't not notice, but I know a lot of times he said, you know, I don't care what they think, you know, and this and that. You can try to cancel this. You tried to cancel me so many times. I'm still going. I'm still getting gigs. I'm still doing this and that. You know, so he really doesn't care. He doesn't let it affect his career. Obviously, it's going to bother him. But,
right.
You know, he's instead of, you know, apologizing and slinking away, he's just fighting back. And he's only fighting back by proceeding with his life.
Right.
So yeah. I'm with you. I'll give him props for that.
Yeah. I mean, if you guys have Netflix, I want you to watch two things. First, watch the Dave Chappelle receiving the Mark Twain Award for comedy. Watch that. Okay. and listen to Dave Chappelle's speech. It's very, very powerful. And then watch his last Netflix special, The Closer. Both of them are brilliant.
Is season 4 of Cobra Kai out yet?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to go look.
Well, that's on Netflix. And when that comes out, I'll get one of those prepaid Netflix cards. And while we have Netflix, I'll make sure I watch that Dave Chappelle thing.
I got you.
I'm not going to get it until, you know, I'm not going to get it before the season 4 is up, because I'm totally addicted to Cobra Kai.
it's a great show, man.
It's awesome.
Yeah, I love
so
it.
So much great stuff in that. All right. So yeah. I don't know how, let me play this thing. This is about the Attorney General, and I can't do it better than Levin did it. So I'm just going to play, because he opened his show with it, last night. And like I said, I don't exactly know how long it's going to be, but you know, we'll stop it as needed. But he was reading a letter that it was pretty amazing. So here we go.
Hello, America. Mark Levin. Our number is 877-381-3811, 877-381-3811. I want to read you a letter hot off the presses from American First Legal that was sent to the Inspector General of the United States Department of Justice today, Michael Horowitz. And when I get into the heart of the letter, you'll see why this is important. This is a letter that is written by or signed by Reed D. Rubenstein, Senior Counselor, Director of Oversight and Investigations, American First Legal Foundation. This is important. It reads as follows. Dear Inspector General Horowitz, American First Legal Foundation is a national nonprofit organization. Our mission includes promoting government transparency and accountability by gathering official information, analyzing it, disseminating it through reports and so forth. Whether the president and agencies he directs, including the U.S. Department of Justice, respect citizens' rights and faithfully execute the laws passed by Congress are core AFL concerns. The Supreme Court has repeatedly recognized American parents' fundamental liberty interest in and constitutional right to control and direct the education of their children. On this basis alone, the nationwide protest by parents against public school policies and practices regarding critical race theory indoctrination, anti-religious and anti-family gender ideology, and or forced online education and mask mandates are entitled to the most robust federal constitutional protection. Instead, the facts surrounding the Attorney General's memorandum of October 4, 2021, which we've discussed at length, suggests the department may be committing federal law enforcement resources to inappropriately prevent parents from exercising constitutionally protected rights and privileges. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Our understanding of the facts is as follows. Bullet. Parents nationwide have protested public school policies and practices associated with, among other things, the teaching or indoctrination of K-12 students in certain principles of critical race theory and gender-related ideology. Bullet. Key Biden administration stakeholders, including the National Education Association, The American Federation of Teachers and others have combined to oppress, threaten, and intimidate parents to chill and prevent them from exercising the rights or privileges secured by the Constitution. These efforts, though extensive, are generally proven ineffectual. Now listen, bullet. In early September, Biden administration stakeholders held discussions regarding avenues for potential federal action against parents with a key Biden Domestic Policy Council official, Jane Doe number one, and White House staff, John Doe number one. Stakeholders also held discussions with senior department officials, including at least one political appointee in the department's civil rights division, Jane Doe number two. Jane Doe number one, John Doe number one, and others in the White House separately expressed concern regarding the potential partisan political impact of parent mobilization and organization around school issues in the upcoming midterm elections. Bullet, upon information and belief, at the express direction of or with the express consent of Jane Doe number one, Jane Doe number two, and other Biden administration officials, develop plan to use a letter from an outside group as pretext for federal action to chill, deter, and discourage parents from exercising their constitutional rights and privileges. Bullet, upon information and belief, in or about mid-September, work began on development of what became the Attorney General's memorandum. Concerns expressed by department staff included one, the absence of federal law enforcement nexus and authority, which I've been pounding day in and day out, and two, the constitutionally protected nature of parent protests. However, Jane Doe number two made it clear this was a White House priority and a deliverable would be created. Bullet, on or about September 29, do you folks remember that I said, I smell a rat. You remember this, Mr. Producer? I smell a rat. This National School Board Association letter tells me they colluded with the Biden administration. I said it behind this microphone, and I said it on television. Well, voila. This is important. Bullet, on or about September 29, citing legal authorities, including the Patriot Act, the National School Boards Association made public a letter demanding federal action against parents, citing authorities, including the Patriot Act. The justification for federal action included, among other things, parents were, quote, posting watch lists against school boards and spreading misinformation that boards are adopting critical race theory curriculum and working to maintain online learning by haphazardly attributing it to COVID-19, unquote. It is not yet clear whether and to what extent drafts of the letter were shared with Biden administration officials, including Jane Doe number one and Jane Doe number two, and whether changes were suggested or made by them prior to the ostensible public release date. On October 4, that would be 5 days later, and that's what raised suspicion. But certainly I didn't have these details. The Attorney General's memorandum was made public. The short time frame between the September 29 letter and the Attorney General's memorandum suggests that either the entire matter was pre-coordinated and the September 29 but pretext, which I said, or that the normal clearance process and standard order both within the department, including legal sufficiency review by the Office of Legal Counsel, Civil Rights Division, Criminal Division, Office of Legal Policy, and other components, and between the department and White House counsel's office and Office of Management and Budget were bypassed or corrupted. You see, the point of this letter is, in this particular bullet, there's no way this could have been processed this fast. No way, if it was done legitimately. Bullet, on October 5, there was a follow-up call involving, among others, the White House counsel's office, Jane Doe number two, and many other Biden administration political and career officials. The briefing included how to talk about equity initiatives to avoid liability for violating discrimination laws, and critically, to hide equity measures, initiatives, and action from Freedom of Information Act disclosure. The intention, it seems, is to evade public scrutiny of these Biden administration activities. Accordingly, remember, this is written to the Inspector General. We request your office investigate whether the Attorney General's memorandum was formulated and issued based on improper considerations. At this point, the dangers inherent in the undue politicization of the department's criminal and civil law enforcement authorities and in the corruption of the department's standard order and process should be evident. Therefore, we thank you in advance for your attention to this important matter. Signed, Reed D.
No way I could have remembered all that. So, that's the letter that was written by to the Inspector General by this nonprofit group, the watchdog for all of the for the Justice Department and stuff like that. So what he's saying is they got their heads. First thing that happened. School critical race theory in schools that started getting exposed because COVID made the schools teach hybrid mode of in-person / online Zoom classes. So the Zoom classes allowed many of the parents to see what is getting taught to their kids. Then enter the school board meetings where people are protesting this. And as you remember, they were like, well, no, we're not teaching critical race theory. We are, but we're just not calling it that. So they really need to get critical race theory in because, they need people divided. And that's all it is. It should be renamed critical racism theory or indoctrination. So then people started going there and they were like, you show up to a school board meeting with evidence and, you're furious and you express yourself. Well, these guys didn't like it. They don't like it when the people oppose them because they're, good little Marxists and totalitarians. And they're the ones that got voted in, Now, who knows what corrupt elections they were participating in. But in any case, so the National School Board Union wrote a letter to the Justice Department or to the president. They wrote it to the president asking the president to intervene and protect them against all these violent parents who are threatening and they're violent but nobody can really give an example of violence. They're expressing themselves. It's violence akin to January 6th. You know what I mean? So they're saying that we're being threatened. Yeah, you're being threatened electorally, not physically. That's what these people are talking about. But what they're so they wrote a letter to the president, this union, the National School Board Union or whatever it is. They wrote a letter to the president. And then 5 days later, the Attorney General dispatches his memorandum. Now, what they're saying is, and Levin has worked as a chief of staff to an attorney general, he's saying these things don't move that fast. And what this letter is saying is this cabal had a meeting and said, how can we get federal assistance deploy federal resources to protect these school board meetings, going forward? Well, they said, we really can't do anything unless we have a complaint from outside. So they arranged to have this letter written to the president who fast-tracked it over to the Attorney General, who already had his letter probably drafted. And then he put out his memorandum saying, you know, that he'll ask the FBI to investigate parents that, you know, that are violent at school board meetings. Now, that's fine because there's no violence. Nothing happened. He also, the memorandum stated that the FBI was going to try to liaison with the local law enforcement people to, you know, to either coach or assist or whatever in getting these things under control or silencing the other people, whatever. So they needed the outside letter to initiate all of this. So they arranged to have it all, you know, one happen and the next and the next and the next. 5 days later, there's this memorandum talking about, you know, we'll ask the FBI to investigate. And they went as far as, and this is the little communist thing that I didn't like, was they got a hotline for school board members to call if they felt threatened by a parent. A hotline.
Ridiculous.
If you get your feelings hurt.
A safe space.
Yeah, right. A hotline to report somebody to get investigated. It's not a safe space at all. It's to save face. You were close.
Oh, yeah.
So,
drop a dime.
Right. That's exactly what it is. So what they created a hotline for that. So now if somebody goes in there and is fired up and starts giving them a piece of their mind, somebody can leave that room and dial up this hotline and, you know, rat them out.
I think they're threatening me.
Yeah, exactly. I hurt my feelings. Yeah. Well, there ain't nobody else here. No. So I'm in my mind, I'm thinking, geez, if I had to go up there and give them a piece of my mind, I would have that number already dialed so that everybody could listen to what I said. Here you go. Before you dial the "oh, my feelings got hurt" line, I have it already. The line's already open and they're recording. So, ready? There you go. So, I mean, that is absolutely amazing. Levin went on to say, you know, how outrageous and egregious that is. Because yesterday he exposed the connection that Merrick Garland is actually his son-in-law is profits from creating CRT material and selling it to school districts.
That is crazy.
You know what I mean? How is all that? Imagine if any one of these guys had the name Trump. Where, it would be the end of the world. It would be. Oh,
yeah. God. The end of the world.
A lot
of that happened in the Obama administration too.
Yeah, that's true. With Eric Holder and all that.
Oh yeah,
he was the wingman, baby.
Yes, he was.
But you know, like I said, and I think I said it when you were coming on. It's not, you know, I'm not such a Trump fanatic that I need to have him back in office. It would be absolutely cool. It would be great. What we need to do is, you know, follow his lead and get all this stuff exposed.
Right. Exactly.
So that it can be fixed. I don't care if it's Trump or, you know, someone else, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I love much of what he did, you know, obviously he stepped on it a few times with his, you know, he didn't think he was doing things that, you know, would be blown so far out of proportion, but it didn't matter what he did or didn't do or said or didn't say. They would just always on him for whatever it was.
Yeah.
Whichever way he went, they opposed it, so didn't matter.
Right. And the one thing that I liked about him, although he was very verbal and outspoken on you know, Twitter, behind the scenes though, he did a lot of stuff that helped boost the economy. I mean, without saying anything, he waited until it happened, and then, you know, in Trump fashion, you know, we unemployment lowest that it's ever been in the history, you know. But, you know, he did some of those things by, you know, like one of the things you kind of touched on it earlier. He lowered the corporate tax rate, and that brought in more profit to companies, and companies were making more money, and they decided, hey, we're going to hire some more people. We're going to give some other people raises and stuff like that. Everything was going fine. Everything was going good until COVID. But, I mean, you know, Trump.
That was on purpose, too.
Yeah.
No, you can't go into an election season with a president that you hate doing this good.
Yeah, of course.
And that's exactly, you know, that is exactly how they looked at it. We got to do something we have to cave in the side of this boat.
Yes.
I don't care if we're in it or not. We're on the top deck, so we'll be a while before we go under. But
yeah, it was a trip because you know they're having that conversation here in Georgia, which you know with our new voting laws. But they talked about how, and I don't understand how this is racist, but they eliminated a lot of the drop boxes. That they had out there, you know, because of COVID, these drop boxes popped up every county.
And you don't understand how that's racist?
So
is that what you said? You don't understand how that's racist?
Yeah, I don't understand how that's racist. They eliminated some of those drop boxes and they said that's racist. I don't get that.
Okay, I'll explain it to you, all right, because you're an idiot.
Here we go.
because they don't like it.
Yeah.
That's the answer. That's what makes anything racist. Anything I don't like is racist.
Yeah. You're
because
right.
That's the only thing that works.
Yep. I've seen... I don't remember who posted it, but I seen the TikTok. It was somewhere where they were at. It was a college football game. And there were some, these are white guys now. They're white guys. They were chanting, fuck Joe Biden. Fuck Joe Biden. And
they're doing the whole let's go Brandon.
Yeah, so they're going, F Joe Biden, and this white girl turned around and she said, oh my God, that's racist to these white dudes.
Because she didn't like it.
Yep, exactly.
Now you know.
And, yep. And
the more you know.
I need that rainbow with the star to shoot over.
Yep. Yep. The more you know.
Yep. There you go. I'm gonna find that and I'm gonna put that sound bite on our system.
Oh yeah. The more you know.
The more you know. and I think I'll probably be much better and things like that, but I want to talk about race on the next show. I want to spend a whole lot of time talking about that.
All right.
That irritates. we know what's going on, but it's just something that I need to get out of my system. So, yeah, so I want to talk about that next time, because I really do need to vent.
Well, all right, listen, it's your show, all right, so you can. you can do whatever you want. You can.
It's our show.
Well, I mean, I believe me, I get plenty of time. It's much easier to go back and forth with someone than it is to just monologue sometimes. I get plenty of plenty to satisfy my needs as far as broadcasting. So it's your show. It really is.
Yeah. Well, it's all good. It's all good. And if you guys are not following Sue from New Mexico on Twitter, follow her, please, because she puts up some great stuff. I love, I guess there's a news agency in Australia, and man, do they be giving Joe Biden the business. And Sue puts them up on Twitter. They are phenomenal. These people in Australia are giving Joe Biden the business.
I imagine they're giving their own government the business as well, because their own government is locking them down to nothing.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah, but the clips that Sue puts up about Joe Biden from this agency down in Australia, they're just wonderful. They make my day. So
that's good.
Yeah, so y'all gotta check them out. If you ain't following her, make sure that you follow her and just.
Well, what's her Twitter?
It is
Sue from New Mexico.
Huh?
Is it Sue from New Mexico? I don't know if she changed it or not.
No, it's Love America 615.
At Love America 615.
Yep, at Love America 615.
All right.
So if you're not following her, please follow her.
When we first connected up with Susie, her handle was Sue from New Mexico. So that's why, you know, henceforth for us, that's what we always refer to her as, is Sue from New Mexico. So
yeah.
She's been canceled on Twitter. She's been kicked off Twitter. She's been, you know, she's had to start new accounts. So her latest account is Love America 615. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Yeah. So make sure you check her out. And thank everybody in the chat.
Us, so.
And everybody in the chat, thank you so much. Everybody on the phones, thank you so much. For hanging out with us. Yeah, Bigfoot. Bigfoot is loyal. I love Bigfoot. And I haven't forgotten, y'all. I haven't forgotten. I've been dealing with some health stuff. But I'm still going to get all you guys Dave's book so that you can have it. I'm still going to get you his book, his second book. I'm going to get you that. It's still going to happen. I just been battling sickness for the most part of this month and actually most of last month and for the most part of this month, I've just been falling real ill. I feel kind of nauseous now, but I'm okay. I'm all right. I'm getting through. So. Yeah, it's all good. But it's still going to happen. It's still going to happen. So once I get everything together, I'm going to need some addresses or something so that I can get these books to y'all. So that's just how we do what we do.
You got it, man.
Yeah. So, hey, since there's only like 4 minutes left, I figure that since I didn't play it during the commercials, I say we go out with the bacon song.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right. So let me find it first. I've put so much stuff on here now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. This is it. All right. So first of all, me and Dave, well, for myself, thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us. We appreciate it. Tell everybody about us. We got to grow this thing so that we can get the message out. That's our thing. That's what we need to do. But thank you, everybody. Be back with us next week, and we'll get down with the get down.
So if you're here listening today, then tell some other people and bring them along next week. We should be both here next week, and we'll get down with the get down once again. All right, hit it, G.
All righty. Peace out, y'all.
Peace out.
Good evening.
Well, I used to eat bacon, 'cause I like the way it tastes. Now I eat it for jihadis, just to say in your face. I eat bacon, wrapped in bacon, rolled in bacon bits. I don't care if they like it or not. It offends them. It's in their Quran.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
You ain't gonna take my bacon.
No.
I'm glad you're offended to your shoes.
No.
'Cause I'd rather eat my bacon. Maybe it's you. I eat bacon wrapped in bacon, 'cause I like it. It's a bonus that it offends you. So, jihadi, let me help you with your ego. Your religion is a big pile of piety. Let me tempt you with some bacon. Maybe you can recant and join civil society. I'd rather build my church higher than yours and draw little Muhammad cartoons. I'd rather shape my bacon into
can't you see what I'm trying to say, Abdul? I'd
rather you got over yourself.
Finally.
Put an end to all this righteous indignation.
Righteous.
Have some bacon and enjoy it. We can all get along. And from war enjoy permanent vacation. Macaroni and cheese. I'd rather replace all
there. Me, I kill you.
Bam!
All right. Good job.
Awesome show.
Good job.
Awesome.
How you feeling? You all right?
Yeah, a little nauseous, but I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It's because of me.
I've been feeling this way all day. From the time I got up this morning, I've been feeling this way. I was hoping that once I got on a machine, got off, I would feel better, but I'm still a little nauseous. I have some medicine for nausea in my bedroom. I think I'm going to take some and see what that does. But yeah, I'm a little nauseous, but I'm all right. I don't know what's been going on. Yeah, just the past couple of days, I've just been feeling like crap. Wow. But we'll get past it.
Yeah, I mean, you did great as far as you know, everything with the show goes. So it didn't affect however you feel. It didn't affect though. So you know that's pro. Good job.
Yeah, I'm struggling a bit, but it's all good.
Right, but it didn't translate. So you know what I mean. So you know.
Yeah. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm giving you positive feedback because
you
are on point bringing, you know, with your stuff for sure.
Yeah. I kind of timed it wrong with my machine. So what I need to do when I get home from work, I need to instantly start setting up the machine so I can get on. And that way, what'll happen is I get off at about like 6:20, 6:30, something like that. And I'm good to go from there. But yeah, I was fumbling around today, doing some other stuff. And I jumped on the machine later than I normally do. So that's why it bit into the show and I couldn't start the show.
No problem. I mean, you know, shit happens. That's you know what I forgot today?
What's that?
Lick spittle.
You sure enough did.
Well, I mean, it's in the after party, so it still counts. We're still.
That is true.
How did we have any callers?
Nope. We just had Susie Q.
Okay. All right. I texted the number to my cousin, and you know, I said, "Hey, we're on now," but apparently he didn't call it.
Yeah.
What are we doing for like numbers? If you go into the details of the show, what are we getting for number? Because he was asking, because he's never been on the air type of thing. I'm like, well, we had like one caller, we had a couple guys in the chat room. I said we get most of the numbers from podcast listens, you know, and the longer it's up, the more listens you get, you know, blah blah blah. So I really didn't have an answer for him, and I was going to ask you where we were at with that. And if you want to text it to me later, so it's not it's not broadcast, but
yeah, I can. I'll text it to you later.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have high expectations. I am not approaching this with the attitude that I was doing it last time around. Last time around, I was thinking, wow, we can really grow this. Right now, I mean, there's so many podcasts out there right now. Everyone's doing a podcast. Everyone that's doing anything is also doing a podcast.
Yeah.
You know, figure Will Ferrell is doing a podcast, you know?
It's crazy. And you know, I'm a little upset at myself, but I mean, you know, I was dealing with some health issues, but like I said, I've been doing this since 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And people thought that, you know, podcasts were a joke. Yeah, my stuff was growing and growing, and I was telling people, I was like, hey, man, this is the way to go. Internet radio, that's what I was calling it back then. But, you know, internet radio, that's the way to go, man. And I was telling everybody, that's going to be the thing. Nobody believed me. And, you know, I lucked out, you know, and got a lot of good interviews with a lot of good people. I met a lot of good people during that journey, and then I got sick. Things were building up, but you know, then I got sick and everything just kind of went to hell after that. But you know, I'm kind of mad at myself because you know, part of my health issue is on me. You know, I have to take responsibility for that. So, you know, when I get mad about, you know, where our show could be, you know, I have to take some of that blame and put it on myself because, you know, I wasn't doing the right things to totally take care of myself.
Okay. Look. We're not. That's it. That's enough. We're doing what we can for who we are and where we are. We're doing it. If people find out about it, and you know, we're not doing show prep. That makes a difference. You know,
right?
If we were putting in, you know, 2 hours for every hour that we're on, which is, you know, what you should do for show prep, then, you know, then you get to be upset if you're still not doing the numbers.
Right.
What we're doing is we're getting on and we're like, we're hacking through doing the best we can with what we can remember during the day. We both got jobs. We both got gigs. We both got, you know, things, families, you know?
Yeah.
Well, all I'm getting at is don't be so hard on yourself because it's not really feasible to have the same kind of a vision that we had when we were doing this before.
Right.
You know, so when I hear you being real hard on yourself, yeah, okay, I get it. But no, and plus, you're kind of sick. not real bad, but you know, mildly. Give me a break. Give yourself a break. Okay.
I got you.
Are we done? Are we done here now? Are we done with that?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
If we catch on, you know, and somehow, yay. If we don't, no biggie. I mean, it's an outlet for us. It's a way we can, you know, discuss our ideas, kind of lay out what we've been thinking. We're still, both of us, we're still plugged in enough to provide some, you know, some content that is relevant.
Right.
You know, usually when I run out of content, I go to the book and you know, this is, hey, you can open up any page of the book, you know.
Start reading. And address something that's going on right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, but I didn't do that today. I don't think I did it last week. You know what I mean? Because we had, you know, and then when you get callers, yay. You get something to react and respond and interact with, you know, that is, you know, the best world to, you know, to be in is when you can just, okay, I was going to talk about that. I talked about that. I did that. Done. Okay. Who's on the line? you know.
Yeah.
If somebody's on the line, then you can call up and find out what they're thinking. And then, you know, either they're responding to something that you already did, or they're bringing up something new in which you can, you know, you can interact with something new, you know. But
yeah,
all I'm saying is, you know, I don't have any high expectations. It's, you know, I'm doing this because it's a way that I can keep my mind active. It's a way that I can keep plugged into, you know, these events. Not that I wouldn't, if I wasn't doing this, I'd still be listening to, you know, what I'm listening to, you know, and reading what I'm reading. You know, I would still be, just, you know, to some degree plugged in politically, paying attention to, you know, what actually is happening.
Right.
I'm still going to, you know, I'm going to work. I got a gig thing that I do. Lucky for me, I right now am not sick, that I don't have to deal with that. Now, you got that stacked on top of everything else that you're doing.
Right.
So whatever the numbers are, it's not a factor for me, because to me, that's not why I'm here doing this. I'm doing this, you know, I'm doing it a lot because you asked me to come in and do it. And I was like, well, you know, that's a great way to stay connected with you, you know?
Yep.
So,
I was about to say that, you know, we get to hang out a lot more.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I mean, not that we couldn't at any point, you know, shoot a call out to each other. It's just that we don't.
Right.
but when we're here, you know, we both got to be here at the same time, and it's a, you know, it's appointment. It's an appointment phone call.
that
we broadcast.
Yeah, and we can have a little fun after the show ends.
That's true. Oh, hey, listen. I'll get to the subwoofer.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
So if I was using to run my program, my show, I had a program called Cakewalk on it. And I had in Cakewalk.
I love Cakewalk.
Okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. So
yeah.
In Cakewalk, there is a set list I can create. So all the songs that I've got prepared, I can put in a certain order on a set list. Okay? And then you can either set it to start the next song automatically or wait for the, you know, space bar. And I always have it wait because I never know. I sometimes have to take a second to remember lyrics of whatever song is coming up, you know, or,
yeah,
you know, something to say to the crowd or something like that. So if the next song is already clicking in, I'll be like, hey, whoa, wait, you know. So I always set it to, you know, wait for the spacebar press.
Right.
Now from the laptop, I would use a USB cord into a it's called a MIDI-MAN 4x4. So it's a 4-in 4-out MIDI interface.
Right.
So I go into that and like port 1 in sounds. When I was using my other keyboard, the Triton, I would have port 1 go to the Triton. Port 2 was lights. Strictly lights, one channel, 14 lights. Port 3 ran my vocal harmonies, and port 4 ran the drums that I liked better than the drums that were built into the keyboard that I was using.
Into the keyboard, yeah.
So I used all four ports. Now, I bought the new keyboard with the idea that I can do away with this laptop. Because, you know, it's a new keyboard. I'm sure the drum sounds are, you know, adequate. And I can, I hope I can separate the lighting from the harmony. So in other words, I'm doing away with one piece. If everything comes from the keyboard, then I only need to divide my MIDI out into two spaces, one for harmonies and one for lights.
Yep.
And I have my complete show.
Yep.
There was a chink in my armor.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So even though each channel in the sequencer has I can use, there's like four or five choices here. I can either turn it off, that channel, or I can have it trigger internal sounds in the keyboard, or I can next is both, which means I can trigger internal and external from another device sounds, or I can have it trigger external sounds from a separate device and not trigger the keyboard its own sounds. And then there's another, it's called external one or external two or something like that. So I would have external two go to the harmony devices and external one go to the lighting track.
Right.
Right. You'd think that would work. The problem is, and let me put it this way, it kind of works. Here's the problem. The MIDI circuitry in the lighting controller it's not extensive, let's put it that way.
Right.
So that it is actually responding not only to the channel that I assigned to it, but it's also responding to the harmony notes.
Oh.
Right. So
I got you.
When I was running it from the laptop, it had its own pipe so that the only thing going through there was one channel, and it was going right to that. And it was one pipe, one channel, right to that, and it worked perfect. In the same pipe as the harmony vocals, that stuff bleeds through and it really freaks out the lighting controller, because it's trying to, like, you know, the harmonies, there's chords. So there's, in other words, there's like three notes at a time that the lighting controller is trying to respond to, and it's just doing weird stuff. It's flaking off into chase scenes and stuff like that I've never even programmed. So the way I programmed it was, you use the keyboard, and each key, I can program it to be a different lighting scene, which I did. So what I have on the Cakewalk sequencer is a track for the lights that's basically, I play the lighting scenes on the keyboard. When I record that track, I play along to the song what I want the lights to do during that song.
Oh.
So it's basically, in other words, if I assigned that a piano sound, it would play those notes. It would be weird because there's no rhyme or reason to the, you know, to the key and whatnot. But when it's assigned to just the thing, it's corresponding to a note on the keyboard that I have programmed it to, you know, be a lighting scene.
Right.
So when it receives the extra stuff, it flakes out and it does not respond to what it's supposed to respond. When the harmony notes stop, the thing kind of goes back to normal a little bit, but whenever, you know, there's harmonies that come in, the thing flakes out. So what I need to do is I need to filter out everything but my, you know, everything for the lighting thing right before the step, right before that lighting controller, everything except channel 14 needs to be filtered out. And nobody really, Nobody really makes that kind of a thing. I found one company in Dublin, Ireland, that makes a MIDI channel filter. And it's a circuit board that has, on one side, it has a USB, you know the where you plug the USB cord into the square end of the cord.
Right.
And then it has a power supply, you know, a little round power supply insert. It's probably a 2-inch by 3-inch circuit board.
Right.
And then out of the other end, it has two MIDI plugs, input output. And then what it has like on the board itself is, I don't know if you've ever seen them. It's this little set of dip switches. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah.
They got four dip switches, and a certain configuration will allow one channel, you know, whatever channel. And there's a chart, obviously.
Yeah.
So for probably about $85, I can get this circuit board, you know. And I've emailed them. I'm like, you know, hey, do you sell this in a box? You know, because they have MIDI merge boxes and stuff like that. MIDI through boxes. I have a MIDI through box.
Right.
And they're like, well, no, we don't sell a box with it or a power supply. It's just this, it's just a board, you know, and it'll do what you want it to do. People sometimes incorporate it internally in their existing equipment.
Yeah.
So I don't think I'm going to be able to put it inside the lighting controller.
Right.
So I'm going to have to get a box to mount it into, and then put that like with Velcro or something in the rack.
Yeah.
But once I get that, you're going to see my confidence level skyrocket.
Pew!
Because that's like the only thing, you know, I know it'll do it. I know what it looks like when it's all grooving. And it's going to be awesome. So what I've been doing in the meantime is I've taken all those songs that I have on the laptop.
Yeah.
And like one at a time, I'm transferring them to the internal memory of the keyboard. The advantage of that is when I would use the laptop, I would have to use on the keyboard, I have to use like a template song, a template where, you know, all the time channel 2 is going to be the bass guitar, channel
I got you.
So channel 8 is going to be, you know, channel 7 is going to be a clean guitar, channel 6 is going to be acoustic guitar, channel 8 will be a distortion, channel 9 will be lead, always channel 10 is drums, you know, 11 might be drums sometimes, 12 is horns, you know, strings, 13 are strings, 14 lights, 15 and 16 are harmonies. So I've got that. But the difference is if I have songs that have, because this thing does such a really cool lead guitar sound, the keyboard lead guitar sounds. I would have to accommodate the song to whatever I could have, you know, the template would have to accommodate many different styles of songs with the effects, with the distortion effects and stuff like that. I have so many different modeling of amps and different guitars and different distortions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
By storing them in its internal memory, I can customize all of the lead stuff to be.
Oh.
Maybe I need just a little bit of grit on this clean guitar sound. Maybe I need this sound that's actually labeled screaming lead guitar. You know? And then, you know, then I can not only pick the style of amp, you know, for the distortion level, I can pick the gain level, I can pick the volume level, but I can also pick the cabinet that I want it to go through, whether I want it to go through like a 412 cab, a 110 cab, you know, everything in between.
So right.
So it's like modeling. It's kind of like the Line 6 guitar amp that I have, where I can pick a different kind of an amp, assign, you know, the effects to that, and then put it, have it, you know, come through a 212 cab, you know, or a 410 cab, you know. I just put it to where it sounds where I like it. Okay, that sounds easy. No, this one sounds better. I'll use that one.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going by. But in other words, I have so many choices. But as soon as I save those choices to the keyboard's internal memory, those sounds are like customized to that song. So it's not like a generic template that I have to use, which I've been doing, I think is going to be way better.
Sound
Yeah, I'm kind of psyched about that. And everything that has like an organ sound, I don't play. If I'm playing, that's fine. It's always on channel one. Whatever's on channel one is something, you know, either I'm playing it, or it's like an organ or piano sound on channel one.
Right.
But I have this pedal, this foot pedal, that I can turn the Leslie rotating speaker on and off. That is awesome. That's gold right there. All I got to do is bump that thing one time and it kicks it on. I bump it again, it kicks it off. And just being able to do that, if I put all the organs, you know, if I'm playing like acoustic guitar, but there's an organ in the song, it goes on channel one, so I can control it with that pedal.
Can you come through it up again? Or you can't walk?
What do you got?
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
All right, I'm in.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I'm really loving the keyboard, because now I don't think I could do this before on the other keyboard. Is I can EQ each of the tracks. You know, each track has like a low, a sweepable mid, and a high. So I can.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, you know. So like on the drums, I'll crank up the kick drum, and then I'll put the sweepable at like 800 to catch the snare and crank that, and then I'll turn up the highs for the cymbals. Bass guitar, I crank up the low end. I put the sweepable at like 250 because that's the one that punches you in the chest, and I'll crank that up just a little bit more, and then turn the highs just off. So, you know, and then, like I said, they save it. It saves each song, you know, the way I've worked it. And then, oh, there's like a final mastering effects thing. Where I can put like a dynamic compressor on everything. And then a mastering limiter on everything. So those are my two final effects, and it just kind of it levels things off. I can be playing piano, and if other things die out, that piano will be sharp and bright. And like if there's other, you know, if there's a guitar rhythm that comes along with that, it evens it out so that the piano is, you know, kind of it dies it down a little bit and brings the guitar thing up a little bit so that it's the same. There's nothing that's overpowering. It's pretty cool. I can't wait to kick it in. Once I get a couple more, I've got probably 15 more songs to transfer.
Yeah.
And then it's just a matter of, you know, rehearsing it and then tweaking as, you know, and then saving. Rehearse, tweak, save. Rehearse, tweak, save. That's the
There you go.
That's the thing. So, As far as the subwoofer goes, and thanks for listening, by the way. I'm glad you understand a little bit about MIDI and enough to follow me on what I was talking about. About the subwoofer, I don't think I'm really looking hard for another like a matched speaker or a matched thing. I've got that one Eminence in there. And it's killing it. It is absolutely killing it. It's plenty. It's more than what I need. It'll do everything that I need it to do on the show that I have. Like I said last week, I even DJ'd that wedding thinking, oh, man, I don't know about the bass. It did fine. It filled that whole entire room.
And that was a big room.
That was a huge room.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think I'm good. You know, I'm done.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty cheap, you know, QSC makes a version of that with a single speaker. The newest one that they got, it's the band pass thing. And it's got a port out the front, a port out the back. But it's got like they have a 112 version of it, and then they have a 212 version of it.
Yeah.
Well, so what? I have a 112 version of their K-Sub, and it kicks.
There you go.
It's everything I need it to be. Yeah. You know, I mean, if I have, it's not like yours that would really move a lot of air outside. But I've used mine outside, and it's kicked. You know, as long as you're in proximity, you know, it's not going to move air, you know, a mile away like yours will.
Right.
But you know, the system. I think I am totally elated with the system that I have now. The only other thing I got to get, eventually. And maybe I can do it with tips from the mail route this winter. I did pretty good last year. I'm going to get the QSC Touch Mix 16.
Oh yeah, you keep on telling me about that. Yeah.
That's got everything I would need. A guy I used to play with had one of them. I kept it with my stuff so that I could incorporate it into the rig, but then he quit the band. I had to give him the thing back. So, but in other words, now I know that's what I want.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, I got a nice pair of Harbinger speakers that will crank. They're like 1,000 watts, you know, a piece. They got a 12 and a horn in it. I've got that bass bin that's 1,000-watt bin with a 112 in it.
Yeah.
The system that I have now will put out a lot of sound. It will put out huge, huge sound. And with the keyboard in there, with the compressor going on, with the way I can route everything, all I do through the subwoofer right now is the bass and the drums. That's all I put through the subwoofer. I use like a monitor out.
Yeah.
And then I just bleed out the bass and the drum to the degree that I want them in there.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome sauce. Gotcha.
Well, it ain't self-powered 18s, but I don't do what you do, so.
Yeah. But, I mean, it is way good enough for what you do.
Yeah. I think it's way better than anybody else, than anybody, whatever anybody else is doing that's doing what I'm doing. I'm doing it way better.
Yes, so, you are, sir.
Once I get that, I got to get that circuit board for the MIDI filter. I don't have that yet.
Yeah.
And I got to put that in the box. I got to get that. I got to get that up and running. Then I'm going to go start, you know, doing gigs. I got going out and getting gigs. I might even do a few gigs for free. Listen, try me out. I'll go for tips. Get me in here, and then you'll have me back. You know what I mean? So
there is nothing wrong with that.
I'll do that to get the gig, because I can like, let me put it this way. I can 90% guarantee my product as far as satisfying customers.
Right.
Selling
drinks.
Yeah. So just get me in there. I mean, I got a lot of people that like kind of blow me off, you know, because they don't know me, you know.
Right.
I don't know you.
Right.
By the way, I thought a lot about what my cousin said last week when somebody like was cranking on him about a mask. I don't know you. I thought that was brilliant. Brilliant. I don't
yes,
know.
Yes, it is. I don't know you. Yes, brilliant. All right, well, I'm gonna get myself out of here.
Thanks for listening.
Try to get some rest. Of course. You know, that's what we do. Yeah, I'm gonna try to get a little bit of rest.
Yeah,
see if I can work my body right.
Well, probably the like I mentioned last week, the probably the most important thing is consistency with, you know, with what you got to do.
Yeah.
Get a ritual, you know.
Yeah.
And try to stick as best you can with that. So.
Yep.
Hey.
I'm on it.
All right, bro. Love you, bro.
Love you too, man. Tell the fam I said hi.
Will do. Take care.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, bye.
Bye.